Hello, and welcome to the DS Smith AGM trading statement. My name is Jess, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. For the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, there will be the opportunity to ask questions. This can be done by pressing star one to register your question at any time. If at any point you require assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Miles Roberts, to begin today's call. Thank you.
Well, firstly, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined on the line by Adrian Marsh, our CFO. So our statement today covers our trading period since the 1st of May 2020. But looking at our trading, our business has progressed well in the period, with performance continuing to be in line with our expectations, obviously despite the macroeconomic challenges that resulted from COVID. Our like-for-like corrugated box volume performance has improved over the period since the initial impact of COVID-19, and in August we've now seen a return to positive growth versus August of last year. Our leading FMCG and e-commerce business has grown throughout the whole period, demonstrating a consistently strong performance, and our multinational companies, customers, more than offsetting the continuing challenging conditions in a number of industrial categories. Our Northern European region has continued to perform well. I'm very pleased to see the recovery, good momentum in Southern and Eastern Europe since May. But we're also encouraged by the progress in North America, in particular in attracting new customers, including multinationals to our new Indiana plant. This gives us added confidence in an improving North American divisional performance for the year. Our supply chains have remained robust and our strong commercial offering continues to help mitigate the ongoing lower pricing environments. And as expected, the impact of lockdowns on the recycling infrastructure and the associated short-term impact on OCC pricing has now reduced to more normal levels. And in addition, we continue to see further opportunities in terms of efficiencies within our cost base. So the underlying drivers of demand for sustainable corrugated packaging remain strong, and our sustainable packaging solutions for our resilient FMCG and e-commerce customers are more relevant than ever. But given the performance over the last quarter and our improved clarity over the outlook, combined with our strong financial position, the board intends to declare a dividend for the half year to the 31st of October 2020. So while the macroeconomic outlook remains challenging, our customer focus, strong cost control, cash generation with an excellent liquidity profile, with our performance to date, gives us confidence for the future. Thank you. I'm now very happy to take any questions, which together with Adrian will answer between us. Thank you.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. And please ensure your line is unmuted locally, as you will be advised when to ask your question. So once again, that's star one if you would like to ask a question. And we do already have a few questions in the queue. The first question comes from the line of Paul Bradley from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. It's Paul Bradley at Citi. Thanks for the reassuring statement. It's good to have a commitment on dividend resuming at the half year. Should we read any commitment into that for any sort of catch up to the previous fiscal year? Or is that still to be determined as we go? That's my first question. Second question is, it's encouraging to see volumes up year on year in August. What's your sort of volume and demand looking like as we sort of start into September with everyone sort of getting back to school and work and things? And finally, any comments on pricing to go alongside this? Obviously, we've seen Teflon pricing coming off, OCC coming off. What are you seeing on the sort of negotiated contracts that you have? Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Paul. Look, on the dividend, obviously the board will take its decision at the half year. All I can say is that a catch up in terms of last year will absolutely be discussed and considered by the board. So I can't sort of give you a definitive answer now. We have to wait to December, but it will absolutely be discussed and debated. You know, obviously aware that very, very aware of not paying anything in respect of last year. On the volumes, we saw a provisional figure at the time of the full year results. We saw a provisional figure for June, and we showed an improvement on May. July was a very good month for us, very good. And as you say, as we said, August is now positive, reasonably positive. And obviously September has started very well. You know, as we say in the announcement, the e-commerce FMCG has been positive throughout the period, but it really has picked up over the last few months. You know, we talk about our multinationals, who've done extremely well there, and overall we're really pleased to see that that robustness. And obviously, hopefully, sometime in the future, we'll see the industrial part come back more vigorously. In terms of pricing, you know, we put in the statement here, we have noted. Somewhat surprisingly, really, but there's been some weakness in some markets on Testliner prices. You know, if you look at our progress on effectively margin retention in packaging, it's actually it's been very good, and it continues to be good. We're pleased with that. We've retained a lot of the reduction in paper prices because of the added value, etc. We're giving customers our service, the pan-European supply. There's no doubt that it's going to be, you know, with our prices, there'll be ongoing debates and discussions with customers. But like I can say, I mean, overall, it's going reasonably well. I think, you know, customers really do, you know, they're looking for that security of supply. I mean, our service levels have been outstanding throughout this whole period. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think our volumes have been so strong, has basically taken more share of our large customers' business. So I think it will be, as always, it will be competitive, but nothing that gives us particular cause for concern there. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Cole Hathorn from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Miles. Could you give a little bit of colour on the underlying performance in the North America division? I believe at the full year results, you talked about some of the trading being impacted by some of the processes that had some COVID interruptions to their business. And I'm just hoping you could give colour on now that their business is a bit better. And then if we think about your June volumes that you gave for the overall business, those were obviously preliminary estimates. Some other commentary was that trading picked up a little bit towards the end of June. Was that minus 4%, did it end up being a little bit better than your initial expectations?
Well, look, on the first point, Cole, in North America, we have seen a noticeable improvement there, really, as you know, some of the COVID related issues that we suffered fell away, particularly as, you know, if you go back to the time of the full year, we talked about some of our protein, our customers who process protein, low temperature environments, we'd had a few hits there. But we have seen quite a very noticeable improvement since then. If you look at August, it was slightly behind August of the previous year, just to give you some indication of the rebound there. And as I said in our notes, you know, we're very pleased with the with the new wins we've been getting for the Indiana plant, particularly for multinationals. There's no doubt that COVID, I think, slowed things down for a while, as we said at the full year announcement. But where we are today, it's very pleasing to see those new wins coming through. As I said, that gives us some more confidence for the for continuing real improvements in the performance of that business. In terms of our volumes, now we did see a pickup in during June. That continued really into July and into August and the beginning of September. That's given us quite a bit of. It's just very pleasing to see the volumes that we wanted to see to come through. I'll be honest with you, it is a bit better than we thought, not massively. It is a bit better though. The underlying demand has been good. So really, since probably mid June, we've seen quite a decent recovery. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Barry Dixon at Davy. Please go ahead.
Yes, morning, Miles. Morning, Adrian. Well done on the quarter. Just continuing on the volume story, I suppose we're all interested in that sort of trajectory, Miles. You might give us some colour. I mean, it's gone from -4 in June to positive in August. Could you give us a little bit of colour around the regions in terms of Northern Europe clearly very strong? Are Southern and Eastern Europe still down year on year in August, or is the shape of the recovery the same? And I suppose then the same question, really looking at e-commerce. I mean, there was this sort of rebound or this sort of big spike in e-commerce shipments through March, April, May during the worst of the pandemic. There's been some commentary that you might see some pullback in that. I mean, just your comments around those e-commerce shipments, whether they're continuing to be as strong. Mm. Just a final question on pricing. I think you said that you thought that the weakness in testliner prices was surprising. I may have picked you up wrong on that. But just your own thoughts in terms of the likely sort of direction of pricing from here. I mean, there's lots of chat about capacity coming on and the prices will be weaker and all of that, but just your own thoughts in terms of how pricing might evolve from here over the next sort of 3 to 6 months. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Barry. If we look at the region, say Northern Europe has remained strong and positive throughout. We have seen a rebound in Eastern Europe and in Southern Europe. There are quite a few countries now in Eastern Europe that in August were positive. They were above last year. Places like Poland has been, very strong throughout. When we come to Southern Europe, here we have seen a noticeable improvement, really coinciding with the reductions in lockdown. Some regions are still negative. If we look at Iberia, it's still negative. I have to say, not very much, but it is. Whilst it's rebounded, it's still behind last year. But when we're looking at our customers, we're looking at the end customer, looking at the demand, there are a lack of tourists. And that has affected overall consumption in Spain. And in some ways, that's probably one of the reasons why it's been slightly stronger in the north, as people have stayed in their home countries. So everywhere has been improving, but some regions, I think, still are still behind last year. E-commerce is a great question because it's just been running at sort of basically at levels up to double what it was last year. I mean, the proportion of my business in e-commerce is now up in the high teens. It's really it's moved forward very very well. We don't actually see much of a pullback. We didn't expect to. The evidence of the end of the lockdown, I mean, people are going back to the high street, etc. However, the pullback is very modest. If we look forward, we've got Christmas coming up. Possibilities, who knows where the high street's going to be. things like, you know, the resurgence of COVID, et cetera, in some areas, you know, how are shoppers feeling? Are they going to be going to the high street? Our assessment is this Christmas, it could be extremely busy on e-commerce. And putting it bluntly, we are already building, a capacity to cope with this coming Christmas. You know, our service is outstanding. We have to always supply our customers at the highest levels of service. We always do. But we're expecting Christmas to be very busy on e-commerce, really, particularly in the countries where it's so well established. And again, you know, we have absolutely, without any question, leading positions there. In fact, we've consolidated our position even further there over the recent months. On pricing, I said, you know, I was surprised that the price of Testliner fell. And whilst we can talk, there is some more capacity coming on. Equally, there have been some capacity restrictions. But if I look at our end demand, it's pretty good. And sure, there's some more capacity coming on, but the export markets are strong as well. Our end demand for our packaging business is good. So I was a little surprised. There's no doubt that, you know, the sentiment of new capacity may, you know, the sentiment could drive something on pricing, but the end demand is, for us, what we're seeing is reasonable. So, look, you know, do I expect the price of paper to rebound strongly upwards? No, I don't. Equally, I'll be surprised if it fell, but as I don't know. It's anybody's guess. But there seems to be a disconnect between the pricing and the actual demand for paper. It's quite, what we're seeing is it's quite good. So we'll just have to wait and see, just how the German demand goes. Thank you, Barry.
The next question comes from the line of Lars Kjellberg from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two quick questions. You mentioned a comparatively bullish view on Christmas, just to give some sort of sense of the confidence in that. Is that your customers now contacting you to, so your investment that you're making today are underpinned by sort of customers' commentary and they already placing orders for Christmas? First question. The second one relates to, you mentioned constructive demand, which of course is positive. The supply side of the equation, you have, of course, as a strategy to reduce your integration levels again back to the level around 60%. Have you made any progress on that? And secondary, given that supply and demand, supply is a function of, well, pricing is a function of supply and demand, are you considering any removal of capacity on the higher end in absence of potential purchasers of assets that you want to dispose?
No, thanks, Lars. In the run up to Christmas, you know, in retail, it's sort of the golden quarter. It's the time when, you know, a lot of retail outlets, etc. I mean, it's their busy time of year, and we would customarily we would be agreeing with our customers about the supply, their forecast, their demand. We've got a lot of expertise, we've got a lot of experience here. We know how these businesses have performed in the past. So all of our, you know, sales and operational planning is a very, very well-established set of processes that we have. Those demand forecasts about Christmas being very busy are from our customers. We have our own views. Typically, you know, a lot of customers, we can look across customers and actually, you know, we have our own views and we'll be discussing these and agreeing a sort of a, whether it's a stock build or you know, just the sort of demand that they're going to be facing. But the references that I made to Christmas being busy in e-commerce are our customers' forecast, and we think they, you know, they're robust forecasts, and we think it's going to be very, very busy. and we're gearing up for that now, which is excellent news. In terms of the paper, you're absolutely right. We have a target to get to 60%. It comes from two ways. One is increasing our packaging, and the other is disposing of some assets. We have reduced some of our paper capacity. It's in-house where we've turned off parts of mills. But the disposal of a mill, that is still ongoing. We're still discussing that opportunity with some potential buyers, but it has been slower. The whole sort of COVID, the environment for selling the assets isn't great. They're good assets, but we're certainly not giving them away. But those discussions, whilst they're ongoing, they have been held up just with the whole COVID, etc. But so I don't expect anything for the half year, but we remain hopeful something can happen in the second half. But as you can appreciate, they are these are uncertain times on the M&A front. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Justin Jordan at Exane. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So firstly, just on, I guess, delighted to see the return to positive like-for-likes in August. I've got two quick follow-up questions on that. Firstly, on box pricing, the German Box Association, VDW, would say that in Germany, box prices fell by 6.9% in the first 6 months of this year. Just wondering what your experience has been, not just in Germany, but clearly on a pan-European basis in terms of pricing in recent months. And secondly, clearly in the environment of falling testliner prices, do you expect continued drift lower in box prices in the latter half of calendar 2020 and early 2021? And secondly, just following up on what you said to Lars, when you talked about turning off part of mills, can you give us some quantification of the capacity reductions that you've actually done through that, to use your phrase, turning off part of mills, please? Thank you.
Yeah, so firstly, on the box price, I mean, once you look at the German market, that is the overall market. As you know, we are far more overweight in FMCG. The last figures that we have given it were our full year results at the beginning of July, where we said that our price reductions over the previous year have been between 3% and 4%. Not a lot have happened over the summer, as you would expect. The lower testliner prices, they're only in some markets. The testliner hasn't moved everywhere, and it's moved in stages, and it may or may not have an impact on the indexation with some of the larger customers. These things, you know, move on averages, and it's the actual sort of quantum of the change as well. It probably will have some effect, but we'll just have to. I don't expect it to have sort of a major effect, particularly compared to what's happened over the last 18 months. You know, in terms of your question about future testliner prices, I mean, we just don't know. I mean, I said that there does, from our point of view, there does seem to be a bit of a disconnect because demand is quite good. You saw stocks have been falling. I was surprised about the reduction. We were just surprised by it. So let's see what happens in the over the remainder of this year. In terms of our mills, as you know, mills can have a different. They can have a number of mills within a mill, and we have reduced some capacity there. It's probably running. What's come out is probably about 150,000 tons, something like that. Just as we've decided to sort of rationalise some of the capacity. It doesn't affect the overall mill, but it's just turning off perhaps one older mill within a larger mill. And this is just, you know, all part of our sort of asset management. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Cole Hathorn from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Well, Miles, thanks for taking the follow-up. Just a question on some of the commentary on your trading statements. You talked about, you know, OCC pricing has come down to more normalized levels, but you'll see opportunities for efficiencies on the cost base. I was just wondering if maybe yourself or Adrian could give a little bit more color there, because when you initially reported your full-year results, just a lot of uncertainty and a few costs before COVID. I'm sure you've got a better picture of that now. Can you give a bit more on the opportunities you see on the cost side?
Adrian, do you want to take this?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I think on the COVID side, Cole, when we set out what we thought the overall costs would be, you know, I think we were quite clear, well, hopefully we were quite clear at the time, that we expected that to be very much an H1 impact as we, you know, process engineered our way through it. And that's what we're seeing. So I'm quite confident that the costs that we outline will be very much first half loaded. And the business has adapted extremely well in terms of working its way through all of the various implications around distance, you know, social distancing, how plants should operate and what the initial efficiency or inefficiency impacts would be and how we've worked them away. In terms of other costs and efficiencies, I think, you know, the whole business has been challenged pretty hard in terms of looking at how you operate, and this time with, I'm sure, a lot of companies, in yourselves included, in terms of what it actually means in terms of, you know, how you do business, the travel, the utilization of office space, the utilization of technology. And we're seeing, you know, an increased emphasis on, you know, what we think, you know, our operating environment will look like going forward. At a plant level, you know, we've always been focused on cost and efficiencies. And I think the unfortunate onset of COVID has very much, you know, the upside of it, if there's any, has been that, you know, we worked extremely collegiately with our workforces across Europe in terms of looking at how we can best optimize, you know, how we do things and protect jobs in ultimately what's a very uncertain time. So I think the ability of the organization, you know, to look at on what we do and to inject pace into change has been quite extraordinary.
The next question comes from the line of Mikael Doepel from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions here. Firstly, on the corrugated box volumes growth that you mentioned in August and apparently continuing into September, would you be able to quantify the magnitude of the increase? I mean, are we talking about 1%, 2% for August and September? That would be the first question. And the second question would be on OCC cost. As you pointed out, the spike has reversed, seems to be stabilizing maybe now, but what's your expectations for that? I mean, given the upcoming import ban in China, do you see further room for OCC to come down from these levels, or do you think this is kind of the new established level? Thank you.
On the box volumes for August, I mean, look, I wouldn't concentrate particularly on one month. You know, it's about a whole progression. But July was slightly behind July last year. But August, we're in that sort of, we're in the 1-2% range, like for like increase on last year. You know, with a number of countries. Number of countries coming back. I think what I'm pleased about, it's not just the market responding. We can actually see where we're taking share in our customers, taking share of their business. So, it gives a bit of, as I said, more confidence about the outlook. So it's a a change in our position. It's not just the market coming back. And look, you know, it's a very good question on OCC. I think overall, it has come back to more normal levels. That's what we hoped. That's what we anticipated. We're very pleased to see that to see that coming through. You're absolutely right. We've got the ban coming in China. There's actually been a little bit of a flurry in some markets. People buying a bit more. The export markets have been particularly strong in some countries which have a big export business. So people wanting to get the fibre into China before the ban actually comes on. When the ban is there, we think obviously there is a it's not going to have a positive effect on pricing. That's for sure. But there is a minimum price. You know, we think there's a fair price for this fibre. I think there are going to be some further reductions, but I don't think they're going to be particularly meaningful. And then we should be at a more normalised level really over the next couple of months. It's not much to go, but we do expect a little bit more to come off. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of David O'Brien at Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. If I could bring you back to the dividend commentary, I guess there's two points to say that underpin you know, your confidence to say that there'll be an interim dividend. Firstly, you know, performance over the last quarter. So on that point, are you saying the rate of organic profit decline in Q1 21 is lower than that in H2 20? You've seen a material improvement. And the second point is, you know, improved clarity on the outlook. You know, in the 2 months since you reported your full year numbers, testliner prices have weakened by 50 euros a ton. COVID cases seem to be spiking across Europe. So I'm just wondering where the improved clarity of the outlook comes from. Is it purely from, you know, volume performance that you're seeing out there, or is there something else you can add to that? And then overall on the dividend, you know, given you have the confidence at a very early stage in the period to say there is the intention for an interim dividend, what is the outlook for group profitability in the first half of the year on that basis? On a separate point, if you could just clarify, in terms of returning to like-for-like volume growth in August, does that include the Lebanon mill starting to take customers? And if you excluded that, would volume still be in positive territory? And finally, you mentioned that you're engaged with a number of buyers on assets, paper assets in Europe. Are these guys people who have existing positions in the European containerboard market, or are they new entrants to that market? Thank you.
Thank you, David. And just look, you know, all I can say on performance is that it's been in line with our expectations. Now, clearly, obviously, profits, as we know, are below last year. In terms of on a quarterly basis, we have outlined that there were a number of costs in the first quarter, which we thought will be very much into the first quarter, particularly things like OCC, some of the COVID related costs as well, and we've seen those come off, and obviously that's had, you know, very positive effect on Q2. When we look at the dividend, at the time of the full year, which was right at the beginning of July, we've had obviously a full review of June's results. We've had July, and we've now had August. But at the time of the full year, we said we were being prudent. One, we wanted to see volumes coming back. And secondly, we wanted to see the OCC costs come down, because both of them are having quite a severe impact. We have seen that happen, and therefore the reasons why we held back on the dividend have obviously softened. And it's basically come back as we'd really hoped. And therefore, when we're looking forward from where we are today as well for the half year, into September and October, our expectations there, we can really see that a lot of the initial impact of COVID in that first quarter has really softened. Obviously, we're out of it, but it's the impact has softened. In terms of the volumes, you're right, we do have a Lebanon. I said the US was slightly negative. Europe was quite very, very, very positively positive. We're pleased that Lebanon didn't have a particular impact on the group overall at all. That's not a reason for the rebound. And in terms of the paper assets, there have been a number of interested parties. Some of them are existing companies in the paper and packaging industry, but some of them aren't. Some of them are looking at the opportunity to enter that market for a variety of reasons, whether it's private equity or whether it's other companies in different sectors, but they can see a synergy with their business from this sort of asset. There are a number of players there, but as I said, it's been slower than we wanted for the obvious reasons. But there remains quite a bit of interest there. Is there anything else you'd add on that, Adrian?
No, I think I think that's a reasonable assessment, Mark. I think on the dividend point, we did set out at the full year, and in our annual report we looked at various different scenarios, and there was a negative scenario, and we wanted to make sure that we felt that was extremely unlikely, and as we've progressed through the quarter, I think we have now been able to rule out that scenario. So in terms of the confidence is almost avoiding the negative. We haven't seen the, as you said, the continued decline or the longer term OCC impact. It was the blip, as we thought, and volumes are returning as we had expected. So nothing more I can add, Mark.
Very good. Thank you.
There are no further questions in the queue, so I'll hand back over to your host for any closing remarks.
Well, firstly, thank you very much, everybody, for your time to listen to our update this morning and for your questions. Just as a summary, we're pleased with the progress. It's in line with our expectations. We're seeing the volumes coming back. That, together with our relationship with our customers, our liquidity profile, really does give us confidence for the future. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your lines.